brief introduction of the passage that we will be in this morning, John chapter number 4. Pastor mentioned the series that we're preaching through, Come and See, and the title of my sermon is Come and See an Experience with Jesus. In John chapter 1, we see that Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry, and he is picking his disciples. In John chapter 2, of course, the marriage and the miracle of him turning the water to wine. And of course, John chapter 3, a very familiar passage of how he met with Nicodemus, John 3:16. I'm sure we all know it. And just powerful truth that Jesus is teaching to Nicodemus. But during this time, Jesus, his popularity, he's beginning to become a very famous person. And because of that, he's not quite ready to go charge ahead and start dealing with the Pharisees and all that that has to come with. But Jesus, he decides to take a journey away. And he takes some time away. He doesn't go all in just yet. But he goes to Galilee. And on the way there, he has an experience and he speaks with someone, and that's who we are going to talk about this morning. But you know, we all know what it means to have an experience. We all know what it means to have a good experience or a bad experience. One of my fond memories, one of the good experiences that I had was I remember when I was a teenager, the first time I beat my dad in basketball. You know, I tend to bring it up a couple times, but that was a good experience for me. Not so good experience for me, more like a funny experience, was when I was playing flag football at college. And they told me that I would be on the offensive line. They said, you're going to be the one to protect the quarterback. Well, I thought that was fine. That was perfect. But when I got to the line, they put in front of me just a 300-pound man who was going to take me one-on-one. And he was fine with that. I wasn't fine with that. And let's just say, I wish I could say that, boy, I put him in the dirt, but it was the opposite. In a second, before I could even blink an eye, he had me on the ground, and the quarterback was on the ground, too. So that was a funny experience. And we all can, whether it's something from our childhood, or even if you're trying a new restaurant down the street, we all have different experience. But these are not life-changing experiences. I would say life-changing is, I remember when I got saved. I don't quite remember the day or the time, but I do remember my mom opening the Bible and showing me how I was a sinner in need of a Savior. That was life-changing. I remember when I surrendered to serve God with my life, for him to do whatever he would have with me. I was a teenager. I was at a youth conference that I wasn't planning on being there, and the preacher didn't preach on surrender at all. But the final thing he said was that God wants to use you. And that shocked me, because I'm sure many of you are on the same path, that you're surprised that God chooses and he still continues to use people like you or I. And we are about to see that Jesus is going to have an experience with someone. And in the Bible, we see that Jesus interacted with different people. He had different experiences. But we also see some people's lives who were totally changed because of meeting Jesus. Before we get to this experience that Jesus has with this Samaritan, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the Samaritan woman. But before we get to that, we need to understand some context and understand what is going on at this time about the Samaritans, and so that we can understand the true life change that Jesus did in this woman's life. First of all, the Samaritans, though, referenced over 12 times in the Bible, and 3 different times is a Samaritan individual involved. Many of you know the story of the Good Samaritan, a parable that Jesus gives. And he tells the story of how a Samaritan who didn't know this person, had no idea who he was, but he still took the time to rescue him and save him. The Samaritan leper who, when God healed 10 of them, he was the only one that came back and thanked Jesus. And the third Samaritan we read about is in this passage, John chapter number 4. Let's go and get into a scripture, John chapter 4. Look what it says. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. It's a lot of verses, so just stay with me. And then we're going to skip to verses number 26. The Bible says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw from, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Please jump down to verse number 29. Actually, verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The Samaritans were an interesting group of people. As I studied this, I realized that the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't just like each other, they hated each other. Well, why did they hate them? The Samaritans, they were a mix of Jews and Gentiles who had settled in after the Assyrians had conquered that region. And when, after the Assyrians had conquered that area, they left some of the Jews, and then the Gentiles began to settle in that area, and they began to intermarry with those Jews. You see, they did everything differently from them. They worshiped differently. They went to different temples. And even though they did similar things to as the Jews did when it came to worship, they built their own temple and they claimed that that was the correct temple to worship at. I have a slide up here that's showing a map. In the south, you can see Judea, and in the middle, you can see Samaria, and on the top, in the north, you can see Galilee. And as you can see, Jesus, his plan is to go to Galilee, and he decided to go straight through Samaria. This was strange because most Jews refused to go through Samaria. They would rather take the extra time, the extra resources to go around Samaria so that they would avoid meeting any Samaritans. But nevertheless, Jesus decides to go through Samaria, and he stops at a place called Jacob's Well. Now, what was Jacob's well? This is a well that could have been, that was probably passed down from generation to generation. It was a symbol, and it was historically a famous well at the time. But this wasn't like a typical well. This was more like a cistern. Now, there's a lot of information coming, so just hang with me. We're going to get to the message. Okay, a cistern, the difference between a well and a cistern is the source of where the water comes from. A cistern refers to water that's collected over time. A well is natural water. It comes from the ground. So the difference is in its source. And Jacob's well was located in the city of Sychar, which is the capital of Samaria. But I found it interesting that this place is also ancient Shechem. Now, if that name is familiar to you, there's a lot of things that happened in this area. First of all, this is where Abram built an altar. In Genesis chapter 12, this is where Jacob built an altar to God. This is where Joseph's bones were carried when they left Egypt. This is the place where Joshua said those famous words, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I noticed that all these historical things that are happening, God did great work in the lives of these people. And God's just going to continue doing a great work in people. So Jesus specifically went to Samaria, and we are going to learn this story. First of all, look what it says in verse number 7. I noticed there was a strange request. Jesus asked for water. It's not strange to request for water, but what was interesting for the Samaritan woman was that she was surprised that Jesus asked her for water. She had a shocked answer. She was surprised that Jesus was even speaking to her. She was surprised that he would even have any conversation with her. To her, the Samaritans and the Jews, there was no relationship, there was no kind words, there was no helping each other. It was a void at all cost. And Jesus knew this, which is why he has a strategic response. Look what it says in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You see, we know that Jesus is talking about the gift of salvation. And she's expecting that he's talking about the water. Of course, he's referencing to the well. But we see that Jesus had a deeper meaning for this. We know that Jesus is talking about salvation. And we know that Jesus, he's the ultimate teacher, the way he interacted with people. But we're going to notice the beginning. The beginning, she's shocked. She doesn't understand. She doesn't know why Jesus is talking to her. But at the end, we are going to see a life change. Look what it says in verse number 11 and 12. She says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and that well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. When Jesus mentions living water, she was thinking maybe it could be a spring water, because that was definitely a lot better than what Jacob's well had to offer. But Jesus is speaking more than just water. He's speaking about the free gift of everlasting life. And in verse number 13 and 14, he says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Whosoever drinketh of this water, he's talking about the well, shall thirst again. Even spring water, they're going to thirst again. But he's saying the water that I have to offer you, you will never thirst again. Jesus wasn't literally offering water. He was offering everlasting life. He was offering salvation. He's trying to teach her that some things just won't satisfy you of this world. He was trying to teach her that the things of God, the free gift that he has to offer, will satisfy. And I noticed that even as we go into our world today, many people try to fill the emptiness in their souls, the emptiness of what they are lacking. They try to fill it with wealth, fame, whatever it may be. But we need to realize that you can't fill that emptiness with worldly things. You cannot fill that with material things. It can only be satisfied through Jesus. People are looking for answers, and they are looking for truth, and it can only be found in Jesus. Verse number 15, there was an honest desire. Because she said, give me this water. That sounds great, right? Boy, if I don't have to get any water from here, if I can drink water and never thirst again, that sounds great. So there was an honest desire in verse number 15. But notice what Jesus says in the next few verses. He says, okay, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. She desired this living water that Jesus had to offer, but Jesus revealed her sin. Jesus didn't condemn her, but he did confront her about her sin. Aren't you thankful this morning that even though Jesus is offering eternal life and he's offering a free gift of salvation, Jesus has to deal with sin, but he doesn't condemn us with those sin. He confronts us, but he has an option for us. We don't have to be condemned by our sin. Jesus loves you and me so much that he provided a way so that we can be saved from our sin and enjoy a true relationship with God. And this is the point that Jesus is trying to get this Samaritan woman, that if you want this living water, if you desire it, you have to deal with the sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin must be dealt with. And we see this throughout the Bible. I think of Joshua when they were trying to attack the city of Ai because one man disobeyed God and there was sin in the camp. That destroyed an entire battle that Joshua thought was easy to win. But here's the blessing about it. Forgiveness is offered. It's freely offered. Nothing has changed. It doesn't matter how much sin you have. Forgiveness still stands, and God's free gift still stands. But before we get to the rest of the verse, it starts with dealing with that sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I notice as I continue reading the story that as soon as Jesus mentions this, she tries to change the subject. Look what it says in verse number 21. Then verse number 19, then she says, oh man, you must be a preacher. You must be a prophet. Verse number 19, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. This is what she's saying. She's saying that he, as soon as he mentions the sin, she's like, oh man, you must be a prophet because you know this. And she tries to kind of put that to the side. She mentions about, oh, well, you worship here, we worship here. But that's not what Jesus has any interest in. Look what it says in verse number 22. He agrees with her that, yes, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I think this part is one of the coolest parts of the story. Because even though Jesus deals with her sin, she tries to avoid it. But God doesn't just reveal her sin, he also reveals his plan. Look what he said. He said that, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Jesus says, hey, yes, that's true that you worship here and you worship here, but there will come a time when it doesn't matter where you go to worship. There will come a time where it doesn't matter if you're here or there or anywhere. There's going to come a time when it's not focused on where you go to worship, but rather who you are worshiping. He kind of gives her a sneak peek that he is the Christ. He kind of gives her a reveal of his power. First of all, by revealing her sin, but also by revealing his plan. And I just think this is so cool because think of it. He hasn't done this yet leading up to this point. He has done a miracle. He's done a few miracles, but he's working his way to it. And then verse number 25, notice what he says. Well, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He not only revealed her sin and his plan, he also revealed himself. Jesus revealed himself to her, and he had not done this yet. As soon as he said this, it was then that she dropped the water pot and ran back to tell her city about Jesus. Jesus went through Samaria to change someone's life. If we want people to have a life-changing experience with Jesus, we need to be willing to go and tell them. As Pastor mentioned last week, we are planning on Come and See Easter. And we are excited about the opportunity to go out and invite our friends and our neighbors to church. We have the opportunity to be involved in someone's life being changed for the better. The question I want to ask you this morning is, how are you giving people the opportunity to meet Jesus? You see how Jesus went out of his way to stop at that well to meet the Samaritan woman so that a life can be changed. Are you involved in helping someone with that? Are you currently helping someone come to Christ, whether that is inviting them to church or telling them about the good news that Christ has done for them? The Samaritan woman experienced Jesus, and once she did, I noticed three observations about her life-changing experience. And as we learn these observations, as we studied them, we can realize that I can have a part in helping someone come to Jesus. First of all, this experience caused a priority. Look what it says in verse number 28. The Bible says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man. Once this lady experienced Jesus, she left everything to go and tell others about Jesus. I'm not sure why she had the water pot at that time. Maybe she was getting water from home or whatever. But whatever she received, she didn't expect to get that day. And she left her water pot. There was a priority. If we are going to bring people to Jesus, there needs to be a priority. There needs to be an importance of telling others about Jesus. Jesus is at this well, and he makes it a priority to speak to this woman. And as soon as she receives Christ, she made it a priority to tell the people in her city. Is telling someone about Jesus a priority in your life? is of importance. Even at the end of the story, his disciples come and tell him, hey, it's time to eat. It's getting late. And they said, hey, we bought meat for you. Eat something. But he said his meat is to do the work and the will of the Father. Amen. At that time, his job wasn't to have a meal. His will was to tell someone about Jesus. Verse number 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The significance that I see about this is that at this time, I'm sure maybe the men of the city is on their way. Maybe they're on that path as they are on their way to Jesus. And if you study the Samaritan garments at that time in the afternoon, they wore predominantly white. They wore white garments. So imagine as Jesus is speaking to his disciples that the field, the harvest is ready. It's already white unto harvest. Imagine the men from the city running to the path to hear about Jesus. Come and see and experience with Jesus. When we have Easter in a few weeks, yes, we want them to enjoy the music. Yes, we want them to enjoy these beautiful facilities that God has blessed us with. But ultimately, we want them to experience Jesus. We want them to have a life-changing experience, a life-changing meeting with Jesus. And this is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to invite your friends, your families, your co-workers, so that they can meet Jesus. But hear the life-changing message of the gospel. Wasn't Paul that said he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase? We went out to go hang some flyers yesterday. I remember talking to Brother Jim, and he mentioned something very interesting. He said, man, I hope that whoever picks up those flyers, that God has prepared their hearts. And he is. Whatever God is, whatever we do when we go out and we hang flyers and we invite our friends, God is already doing a work so that they can be ready. But the question is, who will plant this seed? Who is going to knock on your neighbor's door? Who is going to reach your friends? Who is it, if not you? Is it a priority to you? Not only was it a priority for her, but this experience was also personal. It was personal. Look what it says in verse number 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Jesus was personal to her. It meant something to her. Can I say that we can't tell about someone to another person if we haven't experienced it for ourselves? We can't expect to invite our friends or tell someone about Jesus if we haven't experienced the life change that he has done in your life. And he has. And we can tell others about it, but a personal experience with Jesus involves him being personal to us. I heard about a man who had a dentist appointment, and he called in, and he called the secretary, and he said, I would like to schedule an appointment to have my tooth pulled. And she said, yeah, that's fine. That's no problem. We can go for this time. Tomorrow morning, that's fine. And he said, how much does it cost? And she said, well, it's about $200, $200. And he said, well, that's a bit expensive. Can you do it? Can you pull the tooth without the anesthetic? Will that work? And she said, I don't know why you want to do that, but yeah, that'll bring the price down a bit. He said, how much does it cost? And she said, well, without the anesthetic, it's about $150. That's good, right? He said, well, that's still a bit more expensive than I was looking for. What if you had your assistant do it? If your assistant pulled the tooth out, that should make it cheaper, right? And she said, yeah, I mean, it'll make it cheaper, but are you sure you want to do this? And he said, yeah, I want to do that. And she said, okay, it'll cost about $80. And he said, well, you know, we're getting there. We're heading in the right direction. What if, you know, I know you have a lot of assistants there. Could you have it like a class, you know, have your assistant do it and have, you know, set up some chairs so that they can observe how it's done? How much would that be? And she said, I don't know why you want to do that, but it's $30. And he said, that's perfect. I'll send my sister tomorrow morning and she can get it done. You know, many times we don't like to experience things for ourselves. We like to have other people experience it. When it gets personal, we like to, you know, have other people go through it and tell us how it goes. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to telling others about Jesus, you have to experience it for yourself. Because that's truly how a life can change. The life-changing message of the gospel. Jesus can help you. He can fix your problems. If you're sitting here this morning and you have not experienced the life-changing of what God can do in you, He's ready to do it. He's ready to fix your problems. He can release you from the bondage. There is life-changing power that Jesus has. Have you accepted Jesus? Has He done a work in your heart? The Bible says that His will is that all men repent. And His desire is to know you and to have a relationship with you. That's why He died. That's why He suffered, so that we are able to have a relationship with Him. Jesus made it a priority to go meet this woman. And this woman made it a priority to go tell others. But also, it was personal. She said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." You see, Jesus started by dealing with her sin. He revealed His plan, but He showed her that He has all the power. That He's not just a preacher, not just a prophet. Remember when He went to His disciples and said, "Whom do people say that I am?" And many of them thought that Jesus was just a prophet, someone who taught well, could speak well, who knew the law, who knew all these things. But Jesus was a lot more than that. He was someone who could change people's lives and who was still changing people's lives. I mean, if you watch the video, you see people who are sitting down listening to the gospel being preached. You see people whose lives are being changed on the mission field. We had missionaries come in explaining what God is doing in Indonesia, what God is doing in Georgia, what God is doing all over the world. But God's also doing it right here. And we have the chance to see that. We have an opportunity to tell others how they can hear the life-changing message of the gospel. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Salvation only comes through Jesus. And that has to be personal to us. It's hard to try to, you know, allow something to pass something off to someone that you don't know yourself. Jesus has to be personal. Is He personal to you? Have you received Him? Have you accepted Him? Jesus was personal with her. If you're sitting here this morning and you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, the peace that you're looking for, the emptiness that you're looking for, He is ready to offer it. Not only was the priority and it was personal, but this was also a powerful experience. Look what it says in the end of verse number 29. The Bible says, she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." Is not this the Christ? She knew who she was talking about. She knew what had happened to her. Remember, from the beginning, she was shocked that Jesus was even talking to her. But now she is fully convinced that her life has changed and that she was speaking to Christ. Because remember, the Samaritans, they knew about the Messiah. They worshiped at different temples, but they knew about the law. They knew about what was happening. And when Jesus revealed Himself, there was no doubt who she was speaking to. But the impact of this experience spread to the people of the city. And it says it in verse number 39. Look what it says in verse number 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" Verse 40, "So when the Samaritans were coming to Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them. And He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves.'" It was personal to her. It was also personal to them. "And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." That was powerful. 4 chapters into the book of John, after Jesus does a miracle, after He picks His disciples, after He speaks to a religious leader at night, a group of Samaritans already knew why Jesus was there. They already knew why Jesus had come down. They knew that He is the Savior of the world. When I study the Bible, I see how many people actually understood that. Not even his disciples understood it. And they walked with Jesus for all the years of his ministry. And this woman, because of what she believed, because of what how she took it personal and how it was a priority for her and how powerful the impact was when she told the people of the city. And after they met with Jesus and stayed with them and he taught them, they believe that he's a savior of the world. This was a powerful experience. He revealed himself in a powerful way to this woman, and the result was amazing. It brought many people to Christ. You and I have no idea how powerful the gospel is. It's great to hear all these testimonies and what God is doing all over the world. And as I mentioned, I can't wait to hear Pastor's testimony when he gets back from Kenya. But the impact of the gospel is powerful. Every day we hear about how revivals are breaking out, how God is working and moving among this country. And it's just amazing what God is doing even now. We hear a lot of bad news. We hear all this going on. But we're also hearing how God is powerful. We hear how God is working. And he's still working. And the impact of the gospel, you can make it on your friend. You can make it on your neighbor. We've heard stories of how the gospel has gone around the world. It's changed leaders. It's changed countries. The gospel is powerful. And his word changes lives. Someone shared it with you. And someone took the time to invite you to church. We should turn around and invite someone else. I always like to imagine, you know, how does the gospel get to these countries? These countries that have never heard about Jesus, how does it get there? Well, it starts with one person inviting their friend, another friend inviting the other friend, and it goes all the way and it continues. But it has to start somewhere. For these people to hear about Jesus, it has to start somewhere. It has to start with someone telling others about Jesus. Gospel means good news. We should share good news. We should share it. We always hear bad news. It's time to spread some good news. I'm sure there's some people that you're thinking of right now that you think, man, if only they can experience Jesus. If only they can hear about Jesus. If only they can realize the power that God can do in their life as a result of meeting Jesus. This was a powerful experience because she believed and she brought others to him. And I'm sure it was powerful to you. When you received Jesus, boy, I'm sure there was a great life change, and I'm sure that God did a great work in you and is still doing a great work in you. But that can impact other people as well. And your testimony can impact others. A song that I remember singing in junior church and even tried to teach the kids here, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. A change that's so powerful that only Jesus can bring to life. Jesus goes to a wedding in Cana. He shows a miracle. He meets with Nicodemus. But the Samaritan woman got a front row seat to Jesus claiming to be the Messiah. And he revealed himself. He said, I am he. And she dropped a water pot and she left and she told the others about Jesus. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he stop at this well? Why didn't he continue? Why didn't he continue going? Because souls hung in the balance. There was someone there that needed to hear about Jesus. And it wasn't just her. The entire city heard about Jesus. You know, you never know what could happen if you tell a friend this weekend, if you invite a friend to Jesus, and it's probably going to take some time, but God can take from that and continue. He can take that seed that you've planted and allow it to grow, and you never know what God can do. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Says verse number 41, and many more believed because of his own word. Now we believe and we know that the Savior, that is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. In a few moments, you're going to have an opportunity to respond. And whether you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and it's personal to you is the priority to you. Is this something that instead of just holding it inside, you want to tell to someone else? I'm praying about inviting my barber to come to church on Easter. He mentioned that he's available and he wouldn't mind coming. That's great. I have some neighbors who I've seen play basketball outside. They have some kids. I want to invite them too. We need to pray and ask God, not just God, give me someone. Think of a name. Think of someone that you've interacted with. That, you know what? I'd love for you to come to church. I know me and Noah put out the video, the come and see, and even though it's a little funny, it's as simple as that. You know, if you just take a small stack on your way out and just give it to your neighbor, you never know what God can do with that flyer. Come and see. We don't want them to see us. We want them to see Jesus. So what does this have to do with me? How can I apply this? Well, remember, this was a priority. Are you making Jesus a priority? Are you prioritizing telling others about Jesus, but are you living it every single day? It's important that we have a testimony for them to see so that they can truly see the change that God has done in your life. I heard a story of a man who went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I've been walking 2 miles to church, 2 miles back, and I'm just getting tired of it. I'm just getting tired of walking 2 miles back and forth every time for service. I'm just getting tired of it. And the pastor said, you know, I understand, but did you realize you're preaching a message? Do you realize that you're preaching a 2 mile sermon? You're telling people around you that there's something important enough for you to walk 2 miles too. You're telling someone that there's something important enough that all the times you're going to church, you're walking back and forth 2 miles. Think of all that Jesus did. He had a full ministry ahead of him. He has things going on. His disciples doing all sorts of things, but Jesus prioritized this woman. Will you be that person? The opportunity is here. Easter at First Baptist Church of Kingstown. Every year we have it, and we have different events throughout the year, but we have an opportunity to play a part in the work that Jesus is going to do this year. I believe it. I believe that God's going to do something special this year. And not even just the Easter, through any Sunday or any day of the week, God is working here. And you can have a part in it. If you make it a priority, if you make it personal, it can be a very powerful, life-changing experience for everyone. Everyone, bow your head, close your eyes. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. We're going to have a time of invitation, and if God's speaking to your heart, you can just come. The altar is open. I'm sure there's someone right now that you're thinking of, whether it's a family member or someone at the store or whatever it may be. There is someone who you're thinking of right now who needs Jesus, who needs to experience that life-changing power of the gospel. You can have a part in it. But you can come to this altar or where you're at, where you're seated at, and you can pray for that person. Pray that God will use you in a great and mighty way this week or even next week so that they can know about Jesus. It has to start with someone. Will it start with you? Let's all stand and keep with all head bowed, every eyes closed. If God's speaking to your heart, you can come. If you have not received that free gift of salvation, you can receive it today. He's offering. It's a free gift.
Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truths of your word this morning. I pray that each and every one of us would make it a priority to tell someone about the change that you can make in anyone's life. Thank you that you are ready and willing to save anyone who asks. And I pray that as we go out, that we would be ready to tell others what you have done in our lives. I thank you so much for the time that we have this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.